Welcome to episode 130 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. As many of you know, this past weekend saw the first outing for a new event held in London called PhotoLive. I was there, taking to the stage to deliver a couple of presentations each of the 2 days, and of course I recorded them for those of you who couldn't join me on the day. To kick things off, in this week's show, I'm talking about just how easy it is to discover and photograph outdoor subjects such as country walking, camping, and extreme sports within just minutes of leaving your front door. The talk was entitled Adventure on Your Doorstep and preceded my second presentation, which I'll be bringing you next week. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 130. Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you that don't know, my name is Giles Babbage. I'm a commercial and editorial photographer. My connection with WEX is that I write for their blog. You'll see buying guides and how-tos and that sort of thing. In my day-to-day activities, I shoot extreme sports and country pursuits, mountain biking and camping and walking, that sort of thing. So it's quite a wide range. So what I want to talk about today is this idea that, you know, you guys will hear a lot of these speakers and we'll show you lovely pictures and talk about how we've been to wonderful locations and say, I've just come back from the Alps and I've just been up in the lakes and what have you. But that's not really accessible necessarily for everyone. You want to be able to take these amazing pictures that are just around your corner or maybe within an hour's drive. So what we're going to talk about today at the moment is adventure on your doorstep. Okay, so I'm just going to run through a few pictures. Excuse me, darting to and fro. So I want to start with this slide, which I think is kind of interesting. You may have seen this. It's kind of been doing the rounds a little bit on Facebook and what have you. Improve your iPhone battery life, place your iPhone on the table and go outside. Now, of course, the irony there is that iPhones are so good with their cameras now that you can take amazing pictures in the outdoors using them. You don't have to take your SLRs or your bridge cameras or what have you. So maybe you might want to adjust this slightly and say, take your iPhone but switch off the connectivity and just use it as a camera. Who knows? So the first thing to think about is when I go out into the outdoors, if I'm on commission, if I'm scouting for a location, if I'm just going for a walk because I can, I like to go out, not think about my office and the internet and all the rest of it, and I like to take everything that I'm going to need for that duration. Now, I shoot on Nikon. I've got a wide range of kit. I've got a wide range of cases and bags according to the different situations. What you'll often find me with is something like the Lopro rucksack here. And in that, you'll find, obviously, a camera body, a few lenses, sometimes a flash, depends on the sort of work that I'm shooting. But aside from that, almost more importantly, is the sort of kit that allows me to be comfortable. So here I'll have a flask, sometimes I'll have a little stove so that I can have a hot meal or a cup of tea fresh when I'm out and about. And I'll also take a tarp and tarpaulin. Now, when I said to my wife that I was going to get a new tarp, I won't repeat her exact words, but she thought I was going to get those plasticky blue things you wrap your car up in the winter. And I said, no, sweetheart, it's far more technical than this. So if you want to know, this is 325 gram ripstop and it's amazing. I have slept underneath that with just a bivy bag and a sleeping bag. You can take yourself down to quite low temperatures and you're lovely and comfortable. But I take that in all weathers because if it's a lovely day, I can keep out of the sun. If there's a bit of a heavy wind as there was here, I'm sheltered. And obviously if it starts raining, I've got my shelter. I did a shoot with a manufacturer of tents going back a while. And I kid you not, within a minute of the last frame, when we were happy, it started chucking it down. We were in the middle of a woodland, so it's a bit of shelter. But thinking ahead, we'd already set this up off to one side, out of view, and we had all the kit underneath there, and it worked out perfectly well. And I'll say 325 grams, I don't notice it in my bag there. If you've got any questions along the way, by the way, just ask. So we're talking about making this accessible, okay? A lot of you might be, are you guys local? Are you in London, or have you come sort of from various parts? Okay, South Coast. Whereabouts? 20 minutes from me. Yeah, if you know Havant, Emsworth, all the little villages. Yeah, my home village was Westbourne. That's where I grew up. So there you go. But I go all over the country. Now, this is down in Dorset. That horrible cliche, but also very effective. The early bird catches the worm. I've got a few shots I'm going to show you in here, and I'll sort of dart back and forth. The night before this was taken, it went down to -4 degrees. And I was camping in that because I love it and I don't care. But getting up early with the morning light, I did some other photography I'll talk about in a moment. Harsh light, looking into the light. And this could be your friends, it could be your family, it could be an organised walk with people. A lot of people are members of walking groups. You've got the lovely texture on the grass here. You can see it's clearly winter, what have you. Not much in the sky. Now, I could have put graduated filter on there. I could have worked something in Photoshop, and I don't do a lot of Photoshop. I like to kind of keep things quite original without playing around too much. What I tend to do is I process my images through Camera Raw. I'll check the sharpness, maybe put a fraction of sharpening in there, and then I'll just tweak the blacks to make them a bit more rich so you get this sort of depth in here. The only thing I did post-production is this, is because of the red on the bags and the colour on the clothing, just still keeping them very natural, but just intensifying that colour a little bit. And that's something that I'll do if I'm working with a client and it's all about branding and the product needs to really kind of buzz off the screen, that's what we're looking to do. Again, shots like this, looking straight into the light. That I didn't do anything with that picture other than metering for the picture, and there's no trickery involved. There are, for me, three aspects that kind of are important in this shot. You've got, obviously, the engagement with this guy here with his bright orange glasses. You've obviously got the lens flare, but then you've also got this kind of halo effect where the sky just drops off. I didn't use a polarizing filter or anything like that. That's just the natural fall off of the sky. If you mismatch your lenses and you're using DX lenses with an FX sensor, what have you, you get a natural slight vignette. When I shoot on I love prime lenses, so I'll shoot on a 35mm 1.8 on something like a D3 or a D800, and they mismatch. If you don't crop it in, you get this effect around the edges, and it can work sometimes, and other times it's not quite so effective. But again, it's just about capturing, you know, the fact that it was a brisk morning, people are out enjoying the outdoors. And of course, that's what you're trying to do, is to tell a story. This shot here is something that I shot in September, September last year, for Help for Heroes. They were putting together some... have you guys heard of Tough Mudder, the kind of extreme endurance, get yourself muddy and cold and you get a free t-shirt and bragging rights, fantastic. They were kind of going to be pushing their own version of this, and of course it's for a great cause and what have you. So for this we went up to Salisbury, where they do all the on the plains, where they do all the training. And this is just a shot from a sequence, and you've got the teasels here, and again sort of with a harsh light behind. And the shutter speed was going to be something in the region of 1,000th, 2,000th of a second, maybe more. And that's what's obviously frozen the water splashing up. But you get that intense effect because it is backlit. If I'd lit it from the front, you'd still see it, and maybe I could have used flash. But I wanted to keep it very natural. Focusing-wise, there's different ways I could have done it. I could have pre-focused here, and when they were just about in frame... release the shutter, and by the time my brain computes with the camera, that's where you get your shot. On this occasion, I follow focus this guy in front. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with my D3 with the continuous focus. Sometimes I think, wow, it's brilliant, why don't I use it more? But more often than not, I will be on a single shot autofocus and it will constantly be touching that shutter release and then it'll release at the point, because it activates that focusing continuously. That's just me. I have motorsport photographers who, just for laughs, were at Thruxton a few months back, and he said, try it like this, and I hated it. His approach was awful. He gets lovely pictures, but there's no way I could make it work for my own work. And I've shot motorsports, and I get the shots I do the way that I shoot it. I'm not right, I'm not wrong, neither is he. So when you're out and about, a lot of people love their mountain biking or extreme sports. And of course, you want to capture all the action, and it might be windsurfing, it might be, skateboarding, anything like that. It's very easy to get so wrapped up in capturing that wonderful action that you forget that even at events, after the event itself, or in the, you know, when you're sat at the pub having a pint before you go home or what have you, your bikes are covered in mud, and the opportunities are there for some really nice just detail shots. So for me, with this shot, it was just this contrast between the circular wheels and the very angular shape of the brickwork and what have you. Also with the duplication of the pattern that's on the woodwork here, and then the mud splattered across the bike. In terms of post-production on here, again, not very much. The richness in the kind of the darker areas I did with camera raw, as I said. But apart from that, just because there's really not a lot of colour in here, I just pushed it a little bit so that the greens just came out a bit, but the red here and the yellow of the saddle. But apart from that, on and straightening it, I think is it straight? Near enough, sort of. One leg longer than the other. But that's it. I don't like messing with my pictures too much, because I grew up shooting film when you had to get the result you wanted. And it's, you know, everyone shoots digital and that's great. But if you guys have probably shot film, I would imagine you look, with respect, old enough to be knowing what film is. My daughter, who's 9 months, I'm keeping my old digital cameras so that she'll say, Dad, what is that, when she's old enough. But more so, when I show her a film or my old Mamiya, she'll say, Dad, what the hell is that? And I'll say, look, you have to put something in it. And it'll be like, wow. And I just want to feel smug and clever. And it says more about me than it does about my daughter, I think. But, you know, just keeping it simple. You can get this sort of shot on your iPhone just as you can on a bridge camera or a top-of-the-line Nikon or Canon. It really doesn't matter. And that's not the point. The point is, you need to be looking for the shots that you want to make. The worst thing for me is when friends and family say, oh, I've got this picture, have a look at this. But the moment they do that, they say, oh, it's not very good. It's like, yeah, but does it do what you want? And they say, well, I like it. It's like, well, it doesn't matter what I think. If you like it and it says what, you know, it makes you happy, if you're happy to put it on your wall, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what I think. It's nice to get an opinion, but it's not the be-all, end-all. With this, you've got bluebells in the foreground here. And there's different ways to shoot bluebells, of course. You can go for the obvious thing and have the lovely woodland setting, wide angle. You can go up close for macro. When it comes to shooting upwards, there are... You guys know a guy called Chris Packham, TV presenter, wildlife photographer. He did a thing some years ago called Wild Shots. Do you remember that TV show? And he was saying about putting a little mirror on the ground to photograph fungi from the underside, and rather than getting on the ground and getting up close, what have you, that's how he did it. I tend to just like getting muddy, so I'll often take a bit of plastic or like a bin liner or something, and that's what I was doing on it. Other shots in the sequence, these are lovely and sharp and this blows out, but for me it's just about this abstract kind of shaping and the mottling, and I think it had been a long day and I was probably glad just to have a bit of a lie down on the floor, truth be told. So the next shot, going back to that very cold Dorset trip. When I drove down there, I arrived and I looked at the readout and the temperature on my car, and it said 1 degree. And I knew it was meant to be cold that night. And I pitched my temp, which this particular one's like a two-man sort of thing. It doesn't take long to pitch, but by the time I had got all the way around doing the pegs, there was ice crystals all over it, and you could see your breath, and I needed a cup of tea, clearly. So that night, it went to -4 degrees, but the next morning, it was perhaps the best sunrise that I've ever seen, certainly on an impromptu camping trip. So I was up early and I was watching the sun come up, and I shot some video and I did some silhouette shots of the trees and the tents, and no one else was up, and it was lovely because for me, half of the attraction for this sort of photography, whether I'm on assignment with clients or if I'm doing it for myself, is just being taken in by the whole experience of being there. So then I started doing these shots and people started to wake up, and again I felt quite smug. It's not painting a very good picture of me, is it? Felt quite smug that I got these shots and they'd just been having a lay-in. But yeah, I went to -4 the night before, and it was it was good. It was a good trip. Top tip, if you want to stay warm in a tent, take some whiskey. You only need a couple of drops and it'll warm you through. Anyone fancies buying me a Christmas present, Johnny Walker Black Label, always appreciated. Although Southern Comfort in the bar last night, which is why my throat was a bit gravelly this morning, I think. So if you're going to go to events, you've got all the action. One of the articles that I've written recently, I'm just about to submit part 4 of a 4-part series about motorsport photography to the WEX blog. And this final part is all about telling a story. And of course, that's a prime example where you're looking at all the action and thinking about the cars and the bikes and what have you. There are shots like this that just as you're walking through the car park or the pit area, depending on your access, you've got all the colour, you've got a very strong shape. It tells a story. It doesn't have to show the guy on the bike flipping through the air or doing what have you, but it's those sort of pictures that in conjunction with the action shots are going to be what builds the story. When I'm on assignment and I'm shooting pictures, we might have the product in situation, in situ, but it's the little incidentals that actually are oftentimes more useful, because those go as little indent pictures in a layout or on a website or what have you. So you got up early, you've had a lovely time walking around, you've taken pictures, you got cold, you got wet, you've had a great time. I'm a great fan of nighttime photography. This was up in Montsort, like near Bakewell, famous for the tart, although they say it's not a tart, it's a pie, I think, a cake. They just don't like the word tart up there, I think. We had all, as often happens with people that go walking, ended up in the pub. A lot of people I know only go on routes where you can join the dots pub to pub. It's kind of an extreme pub crawl. So we'd ended up in the pub of this hotel. It's very nice. As we were walking out, and this was around about midnight, thereabouts, as we walked out, this was all lit up and lovely, and there was this fog that was just coming all through the valley here, and it was amazing. So me being me, everyone was like, oh, it's really cold, I need to get whiskey and go back to sleep. I said, yeah, okay, that's brilliant. So we walked back, so I grabbed my tripod, which almost froze to my hand because it was so cold, grabbed my camera, and then I walked back up the hill to get the shot with the lovely light at the side and the lovely fog. So, of course, when I get there, there's no light on the side and there's no fog. But I'd made the effort by that point. So what do you do at 12:15 midnight in the dark outside a pub? You put a little tie clip microphone on, you turn on your audio recorder, and you start talking to yourself, because I run a podcast. And it makes me feel as I'm not talking to myself, because someone might listen to it one day. And the only company I had was the pub cat, which was crawling around. And if you listen back to that episode of the podcast, I think you will hear me having a conversation with a cat. It might float your boat, I don't know. I have 2 cats, they're nuts. I talk to them all the time. So if you've got children who have no fear and don't seem to have any conception of pain, like this guy who's 15 years old and a sponsored professional rider, you can get them to do silly things like jumping off steps. Now, a couple of days or a week or so after I took this, he broke his ankle. I'm glad he did it. Well, no, I'm not glad he did it, but I'm glad he did it a few days after. Not so glad that I was planning on doing another shoot with him that kind of scuppered. The best thing about it was he will jump off stuff like this, but he was pushing his bike and he went like that off a curb and he broke his ankle on a 4-inch curb. He's an idiot. That's all I can say. If you want to know the technical side of this, it was kind of winter light. All of this area here is... I'd never do a very good Brittany, would I? This area is all lit by the sun. Oh, can you hear me okay? Oh, there you go. This is all the sun, and I also worked with 2 speed light flash guns. As I shoot on Nikon. So you had one coming across here. I'm going to hold on to this because that's not working. There. Oh, say technical. There we go. Lovely.
Yep.
White, no sugar, thank you. So we have two lights. We have two lights, one across here, which flash freezes movement. I'm sure a lot of you know that. The shutter speed on that was probably somewhere in the region of 250th of a second, which is typically the top sync speed on a lot of cameras. You can take it further. It gets a bit technical, but it is possible up to 8,000th of a second. But I was working around that. So it freezes all of this movement in the wheels and what have you. One light across here to lighten down this side. Another one off camera here, lighting across here, filling in the shadows that were sort of, you can see his face is all lit up. Took quite a few goes, but it's quite nice. The thing that was nice for this, with this for me, is that these steps lead up to the footings of what was a big stately home, which has now been knocked down. Many years ago, my grandfather worked there, and I kind of like the idea that I was now doing my work on the same. I'm just a bit soppy like that, you know. The same day, underneath there is a load of arches. This is another idiot, just a little bit older. Two lights again. It's getting quite dark by this point. It was getting to about 4 o'clock. One light at the back here, just lighting up this area. Another one off camera here. Bare bulbs, there's no diffuser, no softbox. Fired headlong at him. And the repetition of the shot, for me, the importance was getting the shadow. Quick show of hands. Who wishes I hadn't cropped the shadow off by the wall? Yeah, buggers. Yeah, it's one of those things I keep looking at. And I asked someone like yesterday, and I said, look, be honest, what do you think? And she came up to me, and I'm open to ideas. And she said, what I would have done, right? I would have taken this wall, I would have moved it across, then I would have filled this in, and because this is black, I would have added this in. And I thought, that's too much faff for me. I'd rather give myself a slap and get on with it. But there you go, live and learn. Yeah. Okay, last couple of slides for you. One of my wife's favourite pictures. I shot this some years ago when I was shooting an extreme sports event. I was shooting surfing for a magazine called Wavelength. Terrible conditions, gale force winds, 15 minutes of photography and 3 hours in the media tent with coffee that had been heated and cooled and heated and cooled. That's how the week went. But when it did get nice, this is what we had. I couldn't take this shot now because the car park where we stood has probably receded about 30, 40 feet back. So it's just one of those things. The picture wouldn't work without this guy here because it gives a sense of scale. There was absolutely no manipulation on that whatsoever. The colour's absolutely natural. But then if you are staying local, well, you know this, down our part of the world, you've got Hailing Islands and Witterings and what have you. This sort of stuff, people go out in all weathers and they might spot you and say, why are you taking my picture? If you approach them and say, look, I'm just taking pictures for myself, or you can say that I'm shooting my portfolio or shooting for an article I'm writing, give them a copy of the pictures and they'll be delighted. Now, if they're going to be recognisable, you kind of have to think about model release forms to make sure there's no comeback and everyone's happy. But all these opportunities, whether it's at first thing in the morning, last thing at night, down by the sea, up a hillside, whatever, a lot of them you can be within 20 minutes, an hour, even outside of London. The camping, the walking, everything's there. You've just got to make the effort. So if you would like to hear me waffle on any more, you have two opportunities. You can come back at 4 o'clock, where I'll be stood over there talking about how to shoot at night, a camping scene with a fire and two tents glowing and what have you. You can check out my photography, my portfolio site at the top there. The Active Photographer is the behind the scenes of what I do. I do a weekly podcast, there's tests and reviews, there's articles, and it's a very open platform. If people want to send messages or talk to me on Twitter and Facebook, I welcome it. As I don't take things personally, everyone's got an opinion, it's just the way that we learn and progress, and I've learned stuff from people that have said, I wish you hadn't cut that shadow off on that bike. So, you know, it is a progression for everyone. It pushes me forward and hopefully it informs you guys to be able to go out and take the sort of shots that you'd like to. I think that's the end of my time. So I don't hold people up. If you've got any questions, if you want to step to one side with me, whiskey or not, I don't mind. You can have a chat. But that's it. Thank you for your time.
Don't forget, I'll be bringing you my second follow-up talk in next week's podcast. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.